Our next presenter is Kara Connors. She is an education consultant in the child health promotion and health professions education. She is from San Francisco and works with Dr. Hank Bernstein at Dartmouth Medical Center in Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center in New Hampshire.
That's right.
And I will leave this here because having something white over the, under
so
that.
If I click here, it just advances it, or
yes.
Do I have to?
No, you can do it right here.
Okay, great. Okay. Good morning. Thank you very much for coming. Again, my name is Kara, and in the spirit of full disclosure, I am here representing Dr. Hank Bernstein. I am not intimately tied to this study, and I will do my very best to tell you about the study and some of the early findings from the study. What I will say, though, is I'll be talking to you about a novel web-based intervention for breastfeeding mothers and maternal and child health providers, and I would strongly encourage you to visit feedingyourbaby.org. You can get there directly through that URL, or to get there through a website called Pediatrics in Practice, which I did develop, and that is for maternal and child health educators, professionals, and students. The project aims that I will present on this study is to study the effectiveness of a web-based program in increasing breastfeeding duration and exclusivity by providing a breastfeeding tutorial prior to well child visits, identifying and documenting the needs of breastfeeding moms and babies, facilitating targeted healthcare provider counseling, and increasing maternal confidence with breastfeeding. The study plan is to screen mother-child teams for eligibility in the nursery. And if they are eligible and provide consent to participate in the study, they are randomized to a control or intervention group. And the study intervention takes place at the 2-week, 2-, 4-, 6-month well-child visits. A reminder is provided 2 to 3 days prior to the appointment. And at the clinic, all mothers complete an online survey. The control group receives standard care, and the intervention group receives the study intervention, which I will describe in a minute. So the intervention group here receives access to Feeding Your Baby, which is a web-based tutorial conveying breastfeeding promotion messages utilizing anticipatory guidance. And the website uses a form of case branching method where the patient can identify her needs and problems. And as part of the process, there are educational slides for the mom. And after their review, the mother prints out their report, which includes a web-based needs assessment. And you can't see it very clearly here on the slide, but some of the questions are asked about breastfeeding confidence, effectiveness, milk supply, giving less formula, and asking the mom, is it going well? What concerns do you have? And allows the health professional to indicate at what point or if at all they have discussed that information with the mom. So targeted provider counseling is given as appropriate. And this needs assessment is then scanned into their electronic health record and placed under an office note. So the study plan involves enrolling 220 mother-child pairs, and the study continues until the team no longer provides breast milk to the baby or they've completed their 6-month well-child check. And all mom-child pairs complete an exit survey and receive the American Academy of Pediatric Baby and Child Health booklet. So we are in the midst, the study team is in the midst of enrolling the 220 mother-child pairs. Now, this study takes place in the context of, you know, what is taking place nationally. And let me read just for a minute from my notes about the National Immunization Survey reveals that the United States is approaching the Healthy People 2010 objective for 75% breastfeeding initiation. And in the state of New Hampshire, 74% of New Hampshire mothers initiated breastfeeding in 2004. Although New Hampshire moms are closer to reaching the Healthy People 2010 objective for 50% continued breastfeeding until at least 6 months, almost one-third of those initiating breastfeeding in New Hampshire still find it difficult to meet this objective. And in addition, the survey reveals that only a third of U.S. and New Hampshire moms are exclusively breastfeeding through 3 months, and less than 15% are exclusively breastfeeding through 6 months. So these rates fall well below the Healthy People 2010 objectives for 60% exclusive breastfeeding through 3 months and 25% through 6 months. So the objectives of the study, which is still underway, is to document when and why formula feeding is introduced during the first 2 months in mothers who intend to feed breast milk exclusively, and then to determine the predictors of breast milk being breastfed exclusively. So our study sample consists of 131 moms who intended to exclusively breastfeed after postpartum discharge and met the following inclusion criteria. Had a single child who was at least 37 weeks of gestation and 2,500 grams or more, was breastfeeding at the time of discharge, and would be seeking primary care for their infant at their pediatrics clinic for the first 6 months. And the exclusion criteria included known contraindications to breastfeeding, non-English-speaking moms who were less than 17 years of age, and at any time spent time in the intensive care unit for the mother or the baby. Oops, I'm sorry about that. I'll let you look at that. Okay. The methods for the study. At postpartum discharge, moms completed the enrollment questionnaires, and they obtained the following information on maternal age, parity, race, ethnicity, education level, prior breastfeeding experience, self-confidence with breastfeeding, any formula supplementation in the nursery, and their plans to return to work or school. Immediately before the two-week and two-month well visits, mothers completed web-based questionnaires on the clinic computer. And the questionnaires included information on the type of milk feeding, whether it was breast milk and formula, or formula only, and the timing of and reasons for formula introduction. Review first the maternal demographics of the 131 moms that were enrolled. That should not say median age. That should say median age is 31 years, and median income was $60,000 to almost $80,000 a year. White, non-Hispanic, they obtained at least a bachelor's degree, and 50% of the moms were primiparous, and 53% had no breastfeeding experience, and 47% had no prior breastfeeding experience. Oops, let me just back up a little bit here. So why, you know, it looks like my slides weren't fully downloaded. So let me the next two slides, one would focus on why formula was introduced, and the next one after that would focus on the when formula was introduced, which it looks like did not get downloaded. So those two slides were organized based on the two-week visit data on the left and two-month visit data on the right. So to the question, when was formula introduced, we found that one-fourth, or the study team found that one-fourth of mothers who had intended exclusive breastfeeding at discharge had introduced formula by the two-week visit. 74% did so more than 1 week prior. By the two-month visit, let's see. By the two-month visit, and this is not reflected here, 43% of all mothers had introduced formula to their infant, and almost 20% were now formula feeding only. Almost half of the mothers who had introduced formula by the two-month visit did so more than 1 month prior. So Unfortunately, the slide that talks about why formula was introduced is not reflected here. So let me just read from my notes. By the 2-week visit, mom self-reported that medical factors such as low milk supply, poor infant weight gain, mastitis, and instructions from the pediatric provider to give infant formula accounted for the majority of formula introduction. I think that ties in with what you were saying in terms of consistent messages relayed by the primary care provider. And whereas by the two-month visit, non-medical factors were more influential, prompting more than 60% of formula introduction. And so non-medical factors included the mom needed rest, they were returning to work or school, someone else wanted to feed the baby, and convenience. Lack of support by family and friends accounted for only a small proportion at either visit. And so if anyone would like a copy of the full set of slides, I'm happy to provide that to you after this meeting. The conclusions obtained thus far into the study include that mothers find breastfeeding exclusivity in the first few months difficult, especially during the neonatal period. Medical factors play a prominent early role in formula-fed introduction, while non-medical factors were more influential after the first 2-week visit. And finally, maternal age, education level, and prior positive breastfeeding experience predict continued exclusivity at the 2-month visit. So the implications lead us to believe that early and more frequent breastfeeding support in the neonatal period may help mothers meet their breastfeeding goals, and breastfeeding interventions to improve exclusivity should target younger, less educated moms with no prior positive breastfeeding experience. Now, the limitations of the study include a small sample size. This is Hanover, New Hampshire, with just a very small group of moms enrolled. The study population was clearly not representative of the U.S. population. And factors for formula-fed introduction were self-reported and not confirmed by chart review. So thank you very much for bearing with me through this presentation. I'm happy to provide my card and to meet with you afterwards if you would like to ask any questions. Thank you very much. Well, that's good to know. And
I don't think that was the intention.
Right.
But when I first looked at it, I said,
Right. Well, and I think it. I think that's a really good point, I don't think what you're not seeing are a clear message of what the goals are of what you would like to be seeing. So I think that's a really fair point, and what I can do on my end is bring this kind of feedback, and I value your feedback, and I think that's a really important message to convey to the study team. I do.
I have more of a general question, might not be directed just to you, but the early quitting of breastfeeding seemed to be related to medical factors. Mm-hmm. How much is that validated that indeed there are real medical factors versus physicians not really understanding the benefits?
That's a really good question. I think part of I can't answer that first part. I do not know to what extent health professionals are providing guidance based on stopping before the recommended period. Mm-hmm. But the Feeding Your Baby website, the next phase of it is to build a professional tutorial to help them better counsel. So right now what you're seeing on that website is targeted for the mom, but over time they'd like to build in kind of professional development tutorial to help address some
some of the issues that Anne brought up earlier.
This study implies that the first postpartum visit for the babies is in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Is that okay? So correct. Then that makes you 4 weeks.
Correct.
I think your data provide good support for the importance of the visit before 2 weeks. I just wanted to comment on your question that I bet dimes to dollars that a good chunk of those women are having genuine medical problems. I think that there's this silent epidemic of women failing to successfully establish lactation in the first 2 weeks. And our research that we just finished, 38% of primates had their milk come in after day three. Their babies were at fivefold greater risk for excess weight loss. Mothers who raise are genuine and real and shouldn't just be discounted as we need to try harder breastfeeding. We really need to support that. Now, we don't know why modern women in the U.S. are having some disabilities.
Are there any studies being done to look at that, like early induction?
I'm hoping that by next year, I'll be there.
Well, thank you very much, Kara. You were not only very brave, but I think you did a great presentation. Our next speaker, Elaine Domian, is a nurse practitioner and cultural anthropologist and a teacher at the University of Kansas School of Nursing. Please welcome Elaine. Next. Where's new presentation? There.